In yesterday's epistle of the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, St. Paul wrote to us, "When you were servants of sin, you were free from justice." In the Latin, liberi, fuistis justitiae, the root of our English word, liberty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. What is the national creed of our land, upon which the English Catholic writer, as I mentioned yesterday, G.K. Chesterton, says that our nation, in distinction to all of the other nations of the world, is distinct, in that we were founded not upon a shared common ancestry or language or religion, but rather upon a national creed. What is this national creed of ours? Liberty, freedom. Those words are often used by politicians today, and to the majority of Americans, I suppose, that they would sound good. In his first inaugural address, George W. Bush named democratic faith. He said, that's the creed of our country. And more than our creed, he said, it is the inborn hope of our humanity. At least one national commentator compared this speech that Bush gave last January at his second inauguration to the natural law, claiming to have heard echoes of Thomas Aquinas in it. Which drew my attention. Does it? That's what I want to look at with you this morning on this national holiday, this day of our independence. This democratic faith that is preached so much today. Pretty consistently has President Bush talked about it as late as last week, speaking to a surprisingly silent audience of soldiers. Talked about our foreign policy as being the spreading of democracy to bring liberty everywhere throughout the world, especially now to the Middle East, with, he said, the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world. Our question this morning, can this be our national creed? And what about our founding fathers and their insights? What about the natural law, which is the foundation for our national documents, of which we Americans are justly proud? Do they say that same thing? Now, in the popular mind today, and by this I must include Democrats and Republicans and the so-called neoconservatives or neocons, in the popular American mind today, the fact that ours is a republic and not a democracy is forgotten. President Bush appeals continually as his justification to this call of freedom, which he says comes to every mind and soul. The president's speeches, I fear, reflect the sloppy thinking of his speech writers, and perhaps not a little propaganda. It's all based on this sort of a breezy assumption, presuming that democracy and liberty are virtual synonyms, the one interchangeable with the other. This is an idea which is largely foreign, however, both to classical political theory and, this matters, to our founding fathers, who thought they had established a well-balanced and mixed form of government, that is to say, certain elements of democracy within a republic and a well-balanced government with the three branches. how surprised they would be today to see Americans enslaved by a judicial tyranny. Now, the modern myth or folklore is that the Supreme Court and all the federal courts exist to interpret the Constitution, not only deciding one particular case at a time before it, but also to establish rules, laws, if you will, for the other two branches, the executive and the judiciary and the legislative, and indeed for the whole country. Now, thank God, more and more Americans are waking up to this myth, and it is being exploded today. Americans are beginning to realize this is not true and it is not constitutional. Thus, according to the Constitution of our land, the key, say for the pro-life movement, is not the appointing of conservative justices to the Supreme Court, conservative in the sense of those who conserve the Constitution and nothing else, but rather it is that Congress should take back the business of legislating and take it away from the judicial branch. Now, were this to happen, surely it would be a great miracle, as well as a major mercy of God to our land. But this is where prayer comes in. Do you pray for your country every day? We Americans should. Probably some of the most important and dearest things to us, we don't pray for. We might remember to pray for the poor souls, at least our own, I hope. And we remember to pray for this or that sick person or cause or intention in charity confided to us. That's great. But do we pray for our country? Do we pray for the church? The restoration of both, so important to society. Liberty and freedom are not, in Almighty God's plan, absolute values. They, as we will see today, are meant to serve something greater. What is that? It is the common good. Curiously enough, though, those who speak of the United States and this doubtful foreign policy we are now pursuing of exporting what we say is democracy and pure democracy, because freedom must be spread, these are the same folk who have given us this imperial judiciary that is at the root of so many of our problems today. And this I find not the first nor the last of the contradictions we Americans must confront on this national holiday. Our current mentality, again, in this I mean both liberals and conservatives, as the media would define them, our current mentality accepts without question the assumption that freedom, as the West understands it, is a universal value for the whole world and can be institutionalized only in the Western political form that we know. And thus, it is a noble crusade that takes us to the Middle East or around the world, really. And that it is a bargain, this $1 billion, imagine $1 billion a week that we spend pursuing this war, that it is a bargain to lose a handful of soldiers every few days. And that this gospel of freedom is spread not only by guns, but by that other gospel, I mean Western consumerism, which just boils down to greed. In this westernizing of the world, television serves as a very powerful evangelist. I may have mentioned this before. Did you know that the most popular, the most watched television program in the world is the American show Baywatch? No wonder Muslims are fighting to defend their national values. And while it is certainly true that their technique is sheer terrorism and unworthy of any child of God, nevertheless, are they entirely to be dismissed as terrorists, these patriots who want to protect their own country and their own values for their own people? The path to peace, however could we depart on it, however have we departed from it? The path to peace is to be found in the pursuing of principles. And no amount of prayer can replace that. Where prayer comes in is that of converting minds and hearts to follow the principles which Almighty God has established for our just government, as the framers of the Declaration of Independence appealed to him. What is our national creed? What unites us all together as Americans? Why, it is that which unites all human beings together, which is often forgotten. I mean the natural law, as it is called, which so profoundly influenced our founding fathers in the classical education which they received at home or in the schools they attended. We define the natural law as man's participation in God's eternal law, with certain self-evident principles, as Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident truths form the backbone of the natural law. No natural philosophy, however, no natural law, could or would propose some kind of a worldwide democratic crusade. Nor would our founding fathers. Remember that Washington warned us against specifically that in his farewell address. But for the current president, the untamed fire of freedom, a certain feeling that wells up within man, this it is that inspires his political vision. But Almighty God has not put that fire for freedom in the human breast. He has put the natural law within each one of us. It is simply this, that nature imposes an obligation for us to do what? To fight for freedom throughout the world? No, to act according to our nature. Liberty, freedom, these are, you see, not absolute values. The whole crisis is in this. They are a means towards an end and not an end in and of themselves. They may be, in a given situation, a political good if they assist man towards the enjoyment of a virtuous life here on earth and ultimately in heaven. The big mistake, though, that people make today is they mistake the means for an end. Liberty is good. We pray constantly for the liberty of the church. What liberty do we ask for? The liberty to do what is right, good, pleasing to God, and as we say in the preface, available or helpful to our own salvation. Now, the first principle of the natural law is this. In the Latin, it is omne agens agit propter finem. Every being acts according to its end or its purpose. What is our end or purpose? To seek, to obtain, to enjoy the good, what we perceive as good. This is how we explain evil. People mistake something which is wrong for something which is good for them in some subjective way. Evil becomes good. That's why we misuse our free will to do evil. Free will is necessary for moral action, but political liberty, in other words, free will taken to its extreme and made an institution in a nation's laws, political liberty is not the bastion of human society, nor is it the chief force which God has ordained to direct human society. But for the neocons today, for our president in particular, it seems that liberty is everything. He calls it, in a speech in 2003, the permanent hope of mankind. He says that we need liberty like food and water and air. Now, that would pose a problem, because when you translate political liberty into real terms, the end of a gun, that means we must somehow persuade the Islamic society that we have invaded that Walmart and abortion, rock music, and porn are essential goods towards which all human history is tending. Well, obviously not. That makes no sense at all. And yet, these are the fruits of American liberty today, absolutely a part of our modern American society, which we are spreading, remember, by the double gospel of guns and of greed or consumerism. The idea that every man seeks full political freedom has no foundation in the natural law tradition, nor is it to be found in the foundation in the writings of our founding fathers. The natural law is this. St. Thomas Aquinas explains it clearly. It makes man seek the common good, not the commercial good of crony companies who are big political contributors. St. Thomas says in the Summa, every law is ordained for the common good. Common good does not equal freedom to act as you want to. That's not liberty. That would be license. It is moral goodness that our nation and its rulers have a duty to promote by enshrining moral goodness, not liberty, but moral goodness in our laws, so as to promote the common good, the very center of the natural law on which our nation is based, is that we, the individual, must be free, and the society as well, in order to promote the common good, not to promote the individual good. Do you see the difference? That's everything there. That has to be understood. So St. Paul talks about our liberty as making us free from sin. That's a real liberty that is worth fighting and dying for. But he warned already how liberty becomes for some souls a cloak for malice. And Leo XIII, the Pope in the 19th century, who loved our nation very much, said that liberty already then is running into license. And so you see the sad effect of what? Not of people doing bad things. People always do bad things, sin and be greedy and immoral. The sad effect of people not thinking. I think of all of the things our founding fathers could not have seen for our land, it is that people would no longer, Americans, would no longer think, or think according to common shared principles of the natural law with which man is born. Sadly, I see conservatism today, as well as liberalism, as having embraced the unmitigated and imprudent imposition of American liberty with little or no justification for self-defense. And this we have imposed on the most alien of cultures. No wonder we have trouble today. We will continue to have terrorists until we listen to the wise words of our first president and avoid foreign entanglements. But the root of the problem is not a political one. It is a philosophical one. It is the natural law itself. We've left it behind. No wonder our society is going towards the abnormal at such an incredible rate today, enough to scare any right-thinking person. The thinking person must see, ours it is as individuals and as a society, to seek the good, not to let some men seek what they think is their own good at the price of suffering for others. Cui bono is a classic question that's asked from the time of the ancient Romans. Whose good are we talking about here? Man is here to seek the good. Whose good are we to seek in our country? If you ask this question, you'll be able to cut through a lot of the cant of politicians and presidents and be able to see the question clearly as we ought to see it. Judge by principles. Please do not be misled by propaganda. It is these principles which are self-evident, as we read today again in the Declaration of Independence. It is these principles upon which our great country is founded. May God bless you, and may God bless America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.